This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Stocks had a bear of a year in 2022. For Marketplace in Los Angeles, I'm Nova Safo, in for David Brancaccio. First, the House of Representatives has released 6 years of former President Donald Trump's tax returns. They're from 2015 to 2020. Among other things, the documents show the former president reported zero taxable income in 2020. In 2019, he reported about $3 million in taxable income. 2022 has been a volatile year for markets. The major indexes on Wall Street are headed for a yearly loss. The S&P 500 index fell nearly 20% this year. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab is here with more. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Nova.
So this year began with a challenging environment for stocks. Remind us what happened.
Well, the downturn really started right after we flipped into 2022, when Federal Reserve policymakers signaled they were worried about inflation and would need to accelerate how fast they raise interest rates. Of course, we know how the rest of the year went, with the Fed raising interest rates over and over, aggressively trying to slow the economy. This made it riskier for investors to take on new companies, and they instead focused on profitable ones. And in general, higher costs mean lower profits for companies.
So where would you point to as notable underperformers in a year of mostly losses in stocks?
Hedge funds are a key part of this list. They're set to mark their worst returns in 14 years, with returns falling more than 6% this year. Also, tech stocks, because tech investing often requires more risk. The tech-heavy NASDAQ Composite Index has fallen over 30% this year. Tesla is headed for its biggest annual decline ever as it deals with production problems overseas and, well, all the Elon Musk drama.
Yeah, all that drama this year. And what has bucked the downward trend in markets?
The U.S. dollar index is set for its biggest annual gain since 2015. It's up more than 8.5% so far. But the biggest story of the year is energy. It's one that's been admittedly bad for drivers, but good for the industry. The Russia-Ukraine war pushed gas prices to historic highs, which came with record-breaking profits. The energy sector returned more than 60% this year. No other sector has gained even 5%.
Wow. So you probably did okay if you owned a lot of energy stocks. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab, thank you.
Thank you.
President Biden has signed into law the $1.7 trillion federal spending package Congress approved last week. The bill funds the government and has a number of non-spending related provisions, including this, a TikTok ban on mobile devices owned by the federal government. The BBC's Mariko Oi has more.
It basically means TikTok, which is, of course, hugely popular in America, cannot be used on any government devices unless it's for law enforcement or research. Lawmakers and the FBI have been voicing concerns that TikTok's ownership structure could make U.S. user data vulnerable because companies based in China may be required by law to hand over user information. Now, TikTok has repeatedly said that its U.S. user data is not based in China, but recently the company revealed that its staff accessed to journalists' data inappropriately. So that also added to those concerns. It could mean that rival platforms like Snap and Meta's Facebook and Instagram, all of which are fighting for those young consumers' attention, could benefit.
That's Mariko Oi with the BBC. Over the last couple of years, Washington has approved some $46 billion in new funding for tribal communities and Native American people. We've been covering how that's affected tribal economies. Marketplace's Savannah Marr is on that beat, and she joins us to recap some of the year's biggest stories. Hi, Savannah.
Hi, Nova.
So in 2022, Native American tribes had a lot more cash on hand than usual. Tell us about that.
Yeah, tribal governments received an unprecedented amount of aid during the pandemic. both in direct relief payments from the CARES Act and the American Rescue Plan, and through extra pandemic funding that went to various agencies that serve tribes. And tribes are putting that money to work on a lot of big and very long overdue infrastructure projects. This year, I spoke to tribal leaders who are building out broadband in places like rural Wisconsin. I spoke with leaders of a tribe in Oklahoma that are building a meat processing facility to help relieve some of the pressure on the supply chain there. And my own tribe, the Mashpee Wampanoag Tribe in Massachusetts, is using pandemic relief money to build emergency housing, something that's been sorely needed in our community for a very long time.
So a lot of positive developments there, but the rollout of all that money didn't always go smoothly, did it?
No, it didn't. And experts I've spoken to say that the snags in those rollouts happened mostly because the agencies responsible for distributing the funding didn't really have a prior relationship with tribal nations or any experience working with them. And so another big story on the Indigenous Affairs beat in 2022 has been efforts to fix that. For example, the Treasury Department has launched a dedicated Office of Tribal Affairs for the first time. And the head of that office is our new U.S. Treasurer, Lynn Malerba, who's a citizen and lifetime chief of the Mohegan tribe.
Yeah. And looking forward to the new year, what are you watching for?
I'll be paying attention to how tribes and tribal economies are recovering from the pandemic. So far, that recovery has been pretty uneven, with many of the nations that had healthy economies to begin with recovering most quickly, and some of the most disadvantaged tribes still struggling. I'll be paying close attention to the indigenous workforce in this country. The native unemployment rate was very high to begin with, but it spiked to over 28% at the height of the pandemic. That's a really astonishing number. Since then, COVID has infected and killed native people at a higher rate than any other group in the country, and that's really disrupted a lot of native people's ability to work. In November, for example, the unemployment rate for Native people living on reservations was 5.7% compared to the 3.7% national average. So that's one thing I'll be watching closely in the coming year.
All right. We'll be looking forward to your reporting. Marketplace's Savannah Marr, thank you very much.
Thank you, Nova.
Chinese state media today said new COVID testing requirements being imposed by other countries on Chinese visitors are discriminatory. China is preparing to open its borders amid an infection spike. The European Union has refrained from imposing new testing requirements as it prepares to welcome Chinese tourists. They spent some $250 billion a year overseas prior to the pandemic. I'm Nova Safo with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.